You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Now I'm up. Well, thank you. Hey, before I get started here, 30 years is a long time, right? It's not even a milestone that I've reached in my own personal life. But our Pastor Ron and Annette, have been here for 30 years this week. So let's give them a round of applause. We're so thankful for you guys. We love you. And we're just, your leadership and pastoring in this community has been so much. And it's something that I aspire to and look up to so much. And so it's so great to be under leadership and a pastor who has been here longer than I've been alive. So that's awesome. It's amazing. I'm just so glad to be here. I love our church and I love the opportunities I get to come over here. And one of the things I want to do before I even get started is I want to tell you a little bit about camp, because I get up here and I pump camp, and I disappear, right? So here I am to let you know that we were able to send 37 kids to camp this year, which is 17 more than we sent last year. And we raised over $5,000 for scholarships, because we scholarshiped almost 80% of our students that we sent. So thank you, church, for being amazing. I am so grateful, and I believe in camp so much. And it's funny, we started this camp 3 years ago at McClay Retreat Center in Salem. We started it between high school and middle school camp, 157 students. And the message was, camp is dying, find another way, because students just aren't hungry for that experience anymore. And I met with other youth pastors, and we said, that's a lie from the enemy. The enemy wants us to stop doing camp, because camp is powerful. Camp is where I experienced moments with God. It's where many of us experience our first real encounters with God. And so this last year, we had over 530 students between the two camps. So when you hear me pump camp, it's about life change. And I just want to give you a quick 2-minute video just to show you what our camp was like, so you can see what you gave to. And you guys, like, if you know somebody who didn't go, you'll be excited about sending them next year. So we'll go ahead and watch this video. All right. So that's our camp. Yeah, God did amazing things. We saw over 25 salvations. I mean, we saw hundreds of kids baptized in the Holy Spirit. We saw kids get called to ministry. It's just it was an amazing time. So thank you for all your support for that. And now we're talking about youth stuff coming up this Wednesday. If you're interested in serving, we're having our first team night. And if you want to serve on our Wednesday team or Sunday team, or you're saying, hey, I just want to know how to pray for the youth, like, you're invited. Come, we're going to have some food, we're going to hang out, we're going to worship, and then I'm going to kind of cast vision for what this next year looks like. So that starts at 6:30 this Wednesday. Be there. We'll have a great time, and I believe God's got big things planned for us. So we got that, and then also our upcoming series, Gift of Desperation. We're so excited for that. If you have a story that you want to tell that God's given you of a desperate time, come talk to me, because we want to tell the story of God's goodness so that people will come to know Him in their time of desperation. So if you got a story, something you want to share, come talk to myself or Hudson, and we would love to help you tell that story throughout the series. So that's what I got this morning for you as far as announcements. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to John 5, if you have it this morning. I want to talk about, we're not going to open it yet, but we'll just get there. So I love Disneyland. I know I may not look like it, but I absolutely love, like, Disneyland is one of my favorite places in the whole world. I went to college down in San Dimas, California, and one of the things they should automatically give you is a Disneyland pass. Because it's amazing, it's incredible. Like, I grew up in the Northwest where it wasn't sunshiny all the time, and you didn't have roller coasters all the time, unless you wanted to get, like, water in the face, like Oaks Park, you know? So going to Disneyland, I loved it, and I was probably there once or twice a week for most of my college experience. I did a lot of studying there, you know, very studious. You're in line for 45 minutes. Like, you got a lot of time to go through notes. So, but one of the things I don't love about Disneyland is getting stuck on the rides. And I think the first time I got stuck on a ride, I got stuck on Toy Story. It's like a little game, right? And we got stuck right in front of a screen, so we got to keep playing the game that we get to play. So I was like, oh, this is too bad, we're stuck, but whatever, it's fine. I remember the next time that I got stuck was on Pirates of the Caribbean. And that's a little more claustrophobic. I don't know if you've ever ridden the Pirates of the Caribbean, but you're on the water, and it's dark, and it's about pirates. So it's a little spooky, it's a little dark. But still, you know, you're like, oh, and they're like, okay, just get off here, and you walk through a tunnel. It's really weird. But, like, it was a little nerve-wracking, right? But, you know, a little stunned, but I was able to make it through. And I remember the time that I got the most scared was I got stuck on Space Mountain. Let me tell you something about Space Mountain. If the ride's not working, you're sitting in the dark. And so we sat in the dark, stuck, and like I'm a little bit of a bigger guy, a little taller, and so my knees are usually in my chest. Like I can only be in that position for as long as the ride goes. And so I'm like stuck there. We got stuck there for about an hour. Couldn't do anything, couldn't go anywhere. Finally, they turned the lights on, and it's like, was not as scary as I thought, but it still felt like, for me, it was a big panic moment, right? Where I was like, how are we going to get out of here? This is where I die. Like, this is it. I'm starving. We're not going to make it out of here. And me and my best friend kept looking at each other like, this is it for us. Well, we had a good run. And but really, like, it's just kind of like, those moments happen in life too, right? Like life kind of hands us things and throws us things that kind of knock us off our, like surprise us a little bit, right? Where our faith gets tested, but we're kind of able to see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We have these situations that come up. And then, but we know that God's going to get us through it. And so, you know, we have those kind of moments, but then there's an increase in the struggle, right? There's life stuff that happens that knocks you down. And then life kind of steps on you while you're down. Like, life will do that to you, right? Anybody ever had that happen to you where you get knocked down? You're like, oh, that was bad. And then life steps on you while you're down. And you're like, wait, are we going to get up? Are we going to do it? But your faith gets tested, right? And you end up making it through it. And you're like, man, God is good. God is faithful. My feet are on the solid rock, which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Like, we're going to make it through this. This is great. And then there's the run over by the life bus. And then life throws it in reverse and parks on you, right? Not just run over you again, but parks on you while it tries to figure out where its next stop is. And it leaves you saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? Where life gets so difficult, different things happen to us where we can't imagine a light at the end of the tunnel, where hopelessness sets in, where we feel so desperate to see God do something, but it doesn't look like he's up to anything. Anybody experience anything like that? Where it's like life gets at you so hard that we don't know where does our help come from? Where's this light? Where's this good God who loves me? Where is all this stuff that I've heard, that I've seen in other people? Why isn't it here for me? Heavenly Father, today we want to hear from you. We want to hear your words. And we just pray that anybody who needs hope this morning, God, whatever situations we're in, that, Lord, you would restore our hope, restore in us the joy of your salvation. And, Lord, I pray right now that if anyone here needs you, Lord, that today would be the day they accept you as their Savior and begin life with you. In your name, amen. So we're going to go ahead and open up our Bibles to We're going to open up our Bibles here to John 5, and I'm going to tell you this story. So afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate was the Pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Now, verse 4, which isn't on here, says that sometimes an angel would come down and stir the water, and like that was your cue to get put into the water. A lot of different translations omit it. You may have it in your Bible, but it says that an angel would come, sweep the water, and then that's when it was your time to get healed. First one in wins, kind of thing. That's why his response is, I have nobody to put me in. So it says, someone else always gets there ahead of me. Anybody else identify with that one? Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened even on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said, the man who is cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. But he replied, the man who healed me told me to. Pick up your mat and walk. Who said such a thing as this, they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, now you are well, stop sinning, or something else worse may happen to you. Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who healed him. So that's the story that we're talking about today. And this story is really one. Jesus is coming back from a moment where he's healing the officer's son, right? The officer comes to him and he says, hey, I need you to heal my son. Come with me. You have to come with me. You know, the cry of a desperate father, like, my life situation is so hard. My son is dying. Come save him. And Jesus is like, take a deep breath. He's healed. And I can imagine the officer saying, like, no, like, come with me. You have to fix him. And he's like, don't worry about it. He's healed. And so Jesus is coming from that instance into this situation. And so he takes care of the son from the long distance. Then this story comes into place. Think about this. This man has been there for 38 years. 38 years, this man has been surrounded by the sick, by the lame, by the crippled. He's been surrounded by them, waiting for his healing. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm sure some of you can. What it may feel like to wait for 38 years to experience deliverance of something. And not only that, he's surrounded by sick people. So it's not like there's a lot of hope in this area, right? First one in the water wins. Like, that's one person. Can you imagine this? I mean, it would be like this room packed to the masses full of sick people. Wait, because could you imagine if that was available, right? You'd be there. If you were sick, you would be there. And so he's been there for 38 years. And Jesus comes up to him and says, do you want to get better? And the hopelessness in this man's life had taken so deep of root, he said, I can't. That there was no more hope in this man. That it wasn't like, yeah, would you mind lifting me up and putting me in the water? Like, he hadn't even thought of that as an option. And Jesus was yoked, so he was definitely capable of throwing him in. Like, he was strong. Like, he was a carpenter. He worked with stone. Like, Jesus was a man, okay? And so he could have lifted him and thrown him in, but he didn't. He said, do you want to get better? And the man says, I can't. And then what I love about Jesus is he doesn't listen to this man's excuse. And he says, get up and walk. And then what happens? After 38 years of waiting, in an instant, God does what he does. And this man got up and walked. Right? That's amazing. And that's a narrative for us to remember, is that in an instant, God can do something incredible. The first point I have for you today is Jesus came to be with you. It wasn't on accident that Jesus came to this man. He came to be with that man in that moment because he knew for 38 years this man had had hope stripped away from him. He knew that this man needed desperately an encounter with God. So he wasn't surprised that this man had been here, and he wasn't even surprised by his answer because Jesus knew, walking into it, this was a hopeless person. See, Jesus, before you chose him, he chose you. In the crowd, he chooses you. In a crowd of sick people, he chooses you. He chooses you because he loves you, and he says, hey, you and I, we're together. And we're going to get through this. No matter what your circumstances is, no matter what situations you're going through, whatever difficult things are happening, Jesus says, I'm with you always. He wants to help you. If you got your Bible, go ahead and open up to Jeremiah 1 here really quick. And it says, the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were set apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Before you were born, Jesus knew you, knew your story, knew what you're going to go through. And he knew that he wanted to be with you through it all. He knew that he wanted to be with you through it all. Which brings me to the second point, is he sees you in your struggle. He sees you in your struggle. I love that he asked the man, do you want to get better? And the man's response was, I can't. And isn't that so true of maybe our life circumstances, that we have something that we've been dealing with for a long time, we have stuff that we've been fighting for a long time, and we say, I can't get better. This situation doesn't change. I've been here. This isn't my first rodeo. I'm going to go through it again and again and again, and the cycle repeats itself. But I love Jesus' response in this moment, and I love Jesus' response in our lives. Just like the man in the story, we become hopeless, we've been broken and cast aside by society. Because what our society teaches us is that something's broken, we need to throw it out. If someone's broken, they're disqualified. But what Jesus says and what God's kingdom says is he wants to reel you back in. When you get broken and when you get far away from him, what he says is not, all right, see you later. He wants to reel you back in because he's in the business of restoring what is broken. I mean, that's the whole mission of Jesus, right? Is that he came down because Adam and Eve sinned. He came down to fix mankind, humanity. He came down to fix it. He came down to fix the relationship with God so that we could be in his presence. He's in the business of this. In Matthew 18:12, it says, if a man had 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. That's my God. That's Jesus. That no matter what situation, what moments of despair we're going through, he wants to go down and find you and grab you and celebrate with you. That even though we may feel like our struggle is hopeless, Jesus never loses hope. You may be wandering, you may be walking away trying to figure out what life is, and you know what he's saying? I'm with you. We're together. I love you. I care for you. And life does. Life beats us up. Life leaves us broken. I know Hudson mentioned a little bit of it in, you know, worship. He's just saying, you know what? This song's hard for me to sing sometimes. And that's okay. Like, that's an honest take, and that's what God loves, because once we're honest, that's when he can come in and do what he does. When we stop trying to fix it on our own, and we learn that in desperate times, we can go to him. I'll tell you, this has been one of the hardest years of my life. And I'm going, God, where are you? What are you up to? Like, are you here? Do you see me? Like, I need you. And you know what he says? I'm here. I'm with you. We're going to make it through this. I see you. You're not alone. And I think that's a big word for somebody today, is that you are not alone in this. Like, I mean, if you look in the room, right, look around you, you're not alone. These are all your brothers and sisters. These are all people who love you. We're all God's children. We're all in the kingdom. And you're not alone because Jesus said he'll never leave you or forsake you, that he is with you always. So I don't know what you're going through, but I do know is that Jesus wants to bring hope into your situation. And we have to go after him with everything we have. And worship this morning, that song, Do It Again, is a great illustration. Is that, Lord, I've seen you do it. And sometimes we've seen him do it in other people, right? And sometimes that, I don't know about you, but when I see people get the miracle that I'm waiting for, it makes me a little jealous and a little more angry, a little more bitter, right? Like, the man's response is priceless. I can't, sir, because I have nobody to put me in the water, right? Like, that's kind of my response. Like, God, I saw you do it for them, so I guess that was your miracle that you have. Like, it's not for me. But really what God's saying, I've done it for them, I could do it for you. I've done it for you before, and I can do it again. And then in those moments where life is difficult, life is hard, and we're broken, and we don't feel like worshiping, we don't feel like getting in his presence, that's exactly when we need to. Because the enemy prowls like a roaring lion, waiting. You know how lion hunt? They wait. They see the sick animal. They see the one who kind of wants to distance himself from the herd, who's a little weaker, waits, and then he pounces. The enemy hunts like that. He waits until you're distant. He waits till you've put yourself away from God. He waits till you've put some distance there, maybe from other people who are going to lift you up and encourage you, that you're like, I don't want to deal with them. Sometimes I can't deal with some people's sunny disposition, right? Anybody else? Or you're like, man, they're just too positive. They're too joyful. I can't take it. Get away from me. You're making me angry. Just me. Okay. He wants you in his presence so that the enemy can't take you down. And so those moments where you feel the least like it, that's probably the moment you should probably go, okay, we're about to do some warfare. I'm about to bring it to the enemy. I'm tired of letting the enemy win. And I believe this season, as we are asking and we're seeking and we're knocking, that we can ask and seek and knock for anything. Nothing's off limits. God's miracles, he doesn't limit them. He wants to do incredible things. And so I want to go back up to the Jeremiah scripture that we were in earlier. And my third point here is, he doesn't let your brokenness define you. Like, that's not who you are in God's mind. That's not who you are in God's heart. The brokenness and the things that are despair, those aren't the things that God defines you as. He defines you as a child of God. In Jeremiah 1:6-9, here it says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm too young." This is where God's calling Jeremiah to be the prophet to Israel, right? And he says, "I can't speak for I'm too young," the Lord replied. "Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, "Look, I have put my words into your mouth." Where we feel inadequate, where we feel like we can't make it through the things that have been the life things that have happened to us, God's saying, stop it. I've spoken. Like that, I don't know if you've ever gotten in trouble by maybe your parents at some point in your life. I have several times. But remember, you know, but why? Why can't I do this? Because I'm dad, and that's what I said. And you know that moment where you're like, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. Right? Like that. And I mean, that's kind of what God's saying here. Is like, I've spoken. It's final. Your problems, I've got them taken care of. Trust me. Be with me. Like, where you think you're inadequate, God has said you're adequate. Above adequate. God says you're equipped more than. You are more than a conqueror, right? These are the things that God says. He said, we may feel like our story excludes us from the work of God. We may feel like our circumstance excludes us from what God wants to do in our life. But I'll tell you, Jesus came on earth to pay the price for our sin. And sins that have happened to us, he's paid it all. We may feel like our situation is hopeless, like this guy in the story, right? I can't get better. This isn't going to change. There's no way this changes. I've been here for 38 years. This has been my struggle for 38 years. You think you can walk up here in this moment and everything's going to get better? I imagine that guy had a little bit of frustration and anger. And that when Jesus came, he's like, I can't get better. I'm not going to. This is, you don't even know, right? And I think maybe that's been my response to God lately. God, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what's going on. Where are you? And you know what? Time and time again, he's come in. He says, I'm with you always. What you're going through, I will take care of. I will do the heavy lifting. I will do the work. Will you partner with me as we make it through this together? This is what God wants. In preparing for this, I read the book of Lamentations like probably 5 or 6 times. I don't know if you've ever read Lamentations. It's like not the most encouraging scripture. Lament is in the title. So I'm reading this, and in Lamentations 3, I kind of picked around it a little bit, but this is what God's response is to whatever hopelessness, whatever despair, whatever things you're fighting, whatever illness, whatever things you're dealing with, this is God's response. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, and it is good for the people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. For no one is abandoned by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. For he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. Lamentations 3:22 through 27 and 31 through 33. His faithfulness never ends. His love endures forever. His mercies begin fresh each day. And can I tell you that if you can take it, like, really take advantage of that. That's something I've taken for granted. And lately, God's saying, my mercy's fresh every day. Why are you complaining about yesterday? What's your gripe about yesterday when we're in a new day today? And I've learned, it's time. I wake up every morning. First thing I do is I got worship music on. Because when I do that, when my first moment of the day, it's even come before turning on the coffee pot, which is a little bit of a battle, but I turn on worship music because I can't start bitter when I'm spending time with God getting better, right? Like, I can't start bitter when you spend time with God getting better. So I challenge you, if you really want to take advantage of his new mercies, figure out how you connect with God best and do that first thing. Because that's when you're going to see breakthrough. That's where you're going to see hope return to situations that have been hopeless. Ask, seek, and knock, and he will answer. I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, first, before I even start, actually, if you're here today and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to say, man, I would love this opportunity to say, I want to start fresh with God. I want to start new with him. I'm going to pray, and as I'm doing that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and it's going to be the best decision you've ever made. So, Heavenly Father, if you're here today, and Lord, God has just spoken to you, and you want to give your life to him, and that's you, would you just raise your hand? Everybody else's head's bowed, eyes are closed. And you just want to give your life over to him and say, I need a Savior. Go ahead and look up at me, raise your hand. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done, God. And in our hopelessness, in our despair, God, you don't leave us alone. Your love never ends. Your faithfulness is so great, God. And I pray right now that each one of us, God, who are experiencing life situations that have maybe punched us or knocked us down or, God, even just run over us and we feel like we can't get up, that, God, hope would return, would be restored, joy would be restored, Lord. And that in this season, God, we would ask and seek and knock for your glory, Lord. That we would see you do an amazing work in Canby, all the surrounding areas, Lord, and that you would remain victorious in our lives. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.